And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Welcome to Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. Returning after a week's absence. Yes, last week was my great uncle's 95th birthday, so we had a party over there in Bristol, Rhode Island. And what happened was is got there early and we set stuff up and there was stuff to do, and olives and dishes and stuff like that, and cheese platters. My aunt wanted to put big old hunks of cheese. I'm telling everybody about this. Big old hunks of cheese. And I think I'm going to go a little conservative with my levels tonight. I think a little more conservative. Somebody told me that apparently just barely into the yellow. I don't know what I'm saying. Wish somebody had told me that 50 years ago. Anyway, 40 years ago. Yeah, that sounds right. I got there early. It was me, the producer, and my aunt. And we had bought cheese. We had bought like big hunks. We went to Trader Joe's and we bought every big hunk of cheese we could find. It was ridiculous how much cheese there was. So we got a lot of cheese. And so my aunt got those serving platters, you know, those like turkey like serving platters. So she got a serving platter and she just put like the hunks of cheese. There was like six of them, big old hunks of cheese on this platter. And she put like two knives. And that was her idea of serving cheese. And I was like, well, what are they supposed to do? Fight for it? Huh? Two knives? Huh? They're supposed to have a knife fight to determine who gets the hunk of cheese? So, no. So, I insisted with backup from Uncle George, who's a very sane individual, got to cut some of the cheese. So, we gave the producer the knife, and she sliced cheese, each of the cheese, except for the brie, which was really soft, and the blue cheese was kind of soft too. She sliced them into little, you know, slices, serving slices, so like half of it. So half of it was sliced, you know, each of the six hunks, greasy bonks, bonk, big old pieces of cheese, and sliced them for serving. I mean, you know, come on, you know, and there were crackers, and there was a Prosecco. Prosecco, that's basically a Italian sparkling wine. There was a lot of that. There was other stuff. There was like I said, there was olives. I don't know if there are any pickles. No pickles. And you know, it was like meant to be like little hors d'oeuvre stuff. You know, they got like we got some hors d'oeuvre stuff from Trader Joe's, a couple of different types of things that apparently never got made. See, I wouldn't know because what happened was is, you know, it's like old people warm. In that apartment, you know, it's like Miami all year long. Oh yeah, it's 83 degrees. The only thing missing is Crockett and Tubbs popping out of the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? That's how friggin' warm it was in there. So I could only do so much, you know. So what happened was is our guest arrived. Our guest, I should say, it was a very small affair. Very small affair. We talked for a little bit. I sat and I was social and I talked for a little bit. And Uncle George was in his recliner over by the window, right next to the table. So he was right there. You know, he was involved with the process. And everybody kind of walked by and kissed the ring. You know what I'm saying? Gave him cards, you know. And what happened was that I got too warm. So I went out. And into the kitchen, I walked into the kitchen, and I noticed when I looked out to the kitchen that the third floor, the second floor tenant had already joined the festivities because it's a three-family house with my uncle on the first floor. And then the CNA, which is really good to have around when you have an old guy, on the second floor. And then on the third floor, there's an EMT. Yeah, okay. So I happened to look out the window, And I noticed that the EMT was there. And I was like, ooh. So I put my I went out first and got to the stairs, and I realized it was freezing outside because I was sweating balls from being inside. So I put my sweatshirt on, and I plunked down into the chair next to the EMT, you know, and we're friendly, and he does all the cooking on all the barbecues that we do. And we started talking, and he pulled out a pre-rolled joint. I'm like, wow, pre-rolled. I haven't seen one of those in a while, you know, because I'm like a bowl pipe kind of guy, bong, you know. You know, we smoke a little bit. Now, I smoke very sporadically. I mean, I don't, you know, I'll like binge, and then I won't smoke again for like months, you know. And I figure, I'm, you know, especially now, you know, I'm headed towards Texas, and who knows, Lord knows when there'll be any sort of relief, marijuana relief in Texas, or cannabis. That's the cool word now, cannabis. Cannabis relief. I don't know. So I got pretty stoned. I got pretty baked out there, you know, and it didn't take much either, you know. So, but I got cotton mouth. I got like a real, real, real bad case of cotton mouth. So our guest, our singular guest, which a friend of my aunt's, came out, and she needed the bottle of Prosecco popped open because they were apparently ripping through the Prosecco in there. So I opened it, but I said, please go get me a cup, because I have like, I had the kind of cotton mouth. I don't know if I've not taken a lot of meds. Let me tell you, boys and girls, one of the universal side effects of the vast majority of medications that LF Midwood is on, it's cotton mouth. Mouth of the cotton. Oh my God. I mean, all that was missing was a little black guy popping out of there and saying, ah, it's done, master. That's all that was missing. That's all that was missing. So, that being said, she came back and she gave me, and I drank it, and I was like, oh my, it was like this, oh my God. I don't even write Prosecco, by the way, but oh my God, it was this, whew. So we were hanging out, and at one point I tried to get up, and I made it over to the stairs into the door of the house, because it's like a little stoop stairs, and I couldn't do it. I sat down. I sat down on the stairs, and I couldn't get. I was like, I can't get the door open to go back inside. So what I did was, is I said, instead of yelling, because we were still talking to each other, or more accurately, we were still yelling at each other, which is really hilarious, because you know, now I'm halfway across the yard. I walk back, and I now sit down next to the EMT again. and then my aunt texts me and says, you know, we're going to cut the cake in like a half hour. You have like a half hour to get inside. So I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I did it. I mean, I managed to get enough, to muster it, to get it together enough to be able to get inside and cut the cake. And I did a couple other manual labor things that I was kind of surprised that I was able to do. And I got pictures. I might put them up on. I don't know. It's already a week ago already. Yeah, it's a week ago tonight. I don't know. I may put some stuff up on friggin'. I got to move them from my camera, which it turns into a whole other thing. You got a $1,300 camera. You can't move the goddamn pictures from it. You gotta ask. It's a thing. It's a procedure. Let me tell you something, okay? It's like launching a friggin' rocket, getting the photos off this camera. But I'll do it. It's, you know what it is? You just gotta plug the computer. And I resent because they used a mini regular, like the phone plug, the one that on the old phones, you know, like a mini USB. So you can in and out. You kind of put a little wear and tear on it, which really I hate it. I really honestly do. What the price range that camera's in, they should have put a USB-C in there, and it would have been just like a whole lot easier. Supposedly I can move stuff wirelessly, but I've delved into that, and it turned into launching two rockets simultaneously. So I left that alone. So I got pictures. I might put them up on my, I guess, where do I put my pictures these days? I guess I put stuff on Instagram. Yeah, I might put them up on Instagram. I put multiple pictures in one post up on Instagram. Which I think will be pretty cool, because you know what, Uncle George only turns 95 like once, only does it once, and then went back outside, and we were just hanging out. Yeah, so I felt kind of a little bit bad about that, but you know, not really, because I'd gotten there early and I'd spent time, and I was there. I actually didn't eat any cake. I actually didn't eat anything, believe it or not. It's really weird. I don't get the munchies when I smoke weed anymore. I think it's part of whatever my ailnesses are, whatever they are. I don't, for some reason, I don't smoke. I don't get munchies, which is really kind of interesting, you know. My weight is stable. I'm about the same. Medical condition, everything's about the same, more or less. I'm going to see my specialist over there at the GI clinic in the middle of May. So I'm all geared up for that. I'm all excited. So yeah, so we did it, and then we broke stuff down and we left. You know, it wasn't the biggest deal in the world. It was nice. And then we had to go back because we needed to move stuff off the table, off the dining room table. You know how it is with old people where they have the stacks of mail, you know. And my Uncle George loves mail. He lives for the mail. If a day goes by that he doesn't get junk mail and he can't complain about it, I don't know what. I mean, he's waiting for the mailman. So the table's like full of mail, you know. So we moved it into a spare bedroom. There's an actual spare bedroom. So we moved some of it into a spare bedroom, and we actually moved some of it into his bedroom because he doesn't sleep in his bed. He's got one of those nice hospital beds in there. He doesn't sleep in that. He sleeps in his chair, in his recliner. He loves that recliner. So we had to come back on – we were going to do it on Monday, but I wasn't feeling so hot. So we went back on Tuesday. And so we go back on Tuesday, and I'm saying to myself, this is going to be a really difficult thing because I don't remember what stack of mail – was in what spot. I didn't draw a map. I didn't do it. So what wound up happening was his physical therapist, because I think I mentioned a couple of shows ago, he had fallen down and he was in the hospital for a little bit, and then he was in a nursing home, and then the last little bit is they send a PT, someone to do PT to the house. You know, and he's 95, so you get him up, you're moving around a little bit, you know what I mean? But the physical therapist was there when Jerry and I arrived to put the mail back. So I'm like, oh, great. So I went back outside. Now, where I was sitting with the EMT is, I guess, it's like a gazebo, portico kind of deal. And you don't easily see someone sitting there unless you actually look for someone sitting there, you know what I mean? So I go and I sit, and it turns out the EMT was there again. Oh, my God. So I'm sitting there, and I haven't even had coffee yet. That's how, you know, because I'm only drinking tea. I'm not drinking caffeine. You may not be able to tell, but I'm not as caffeinated as I normally am. So we're sitting there, and he pulls out this bright orange pen, which has got oil in it, right? So he hands it, and he says, here. So I take a hit off the pen, and then everything changed. Yeah, I've done it once or twice. I think I recanted the story of, I didn't recant. what did I do? I told the story of when I went to jails and, many moons. That's not even 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was like 4 years ago. Over the holidays there, or close to the holiday for the staff dinner. And I wound up smoking the oil and I got stuck on his couch. And I do mean stuck. I got stuck on his couch. So I hadn't had any oil since then. I tried it, you know, because it's like, you know, when I smoke so infrequently, just regular, like, decent weed. And when I say decent, I mean, you know, something like, you know, anything from like 20 to 25% THC. And I like indica. It's going to do the job. There's like the talk about the 38. You know, everybody maligns the 38. But you know what? It's going to do the job. Bet you don't want to get shot by a 38. I bet you. So that's what I normally do. So the oil is like, holy shit. You know, bottom dropped out kind of deal. So I took another, and then I had to go inside to move the mail, right? And I'm like, as I'm going up the stairs into the apartment, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to move the mail. I didn't know where the mail was before, and now I'm wrecked out of my brain. What am I going to do? So I get there, and he's like, yeah, don't worry about the mail. I'm like, I love you, old man. I love you. So we sat around for a little bit longer, and we hit the road, and we did. And I was pretty much, you know, I was wrecked in a control sort of way. So it was had to be some sort of hybrid. I didn't ask him what it was, but I think it had to be some sort of hybrid, because it wasn't just straight like indigo. I'm going to sleep. There was a little bit of a head thing and a body thing going on at the same time, which is actually kind of cool. So while I was there talking to the EMT. Because I never, you know, the mechanics of it. The only vaping that I knew of, because it was a vape pen, the only vaping that I knew of was like, you know, the e-juice, you know, because I know the producer was doing that for a little while. And I kind of passed through there, but it wasn't like, it didn't enthrall me too much. And then she stopped, so she's actually not doing anything now, which is great. But so I knew the big batteries and the tanks and all that stuff. And apparently, it's a whole new thing. And the cartridges for the vape pens and batteries are now a standard 510 thread. So what I did was, is I came home and for a birthday present for myself, I bought a battery. I got a nice battery, a decent battery. I wouldn't say great battery. You know, it's not the best battery because I couldn't figure out what that was in the short time allotted to me. I got a chance to do my research. But I bought a decent battery. So I think on Wednesday, I'm going to find myself. This is cool. There's a new dispensary that's real close to me. It's like on the line. It's like on the Rhode Island, Massachusetts line. So it's like half the distance that the other one was. And I pass it. And I can't go to Uncle George's without passing it. So that's kind of like awesome. So I'm gonna get a cartridge, maybe a 100,000 milligrams. I guess it would be the weight would be a gram, in dry weight. I guess I'm gonna get one of those and I'm gonna plug it into my battery. And now on the other negative side, on the bad side of things, right? So I'm just I bought a vaporizer, a dry weed vaporizer, like a long time ago, and I never used it. It's just been sitting there. I just never used it. It's Vapixale is the brand name. It was one of the better ones and also super, super efficient. Well, I was looking around and I always felt pretty good because even though I never used it, I had it. It was kind of stashed, pardon the pun, stashed away. Well, now I find out they've gone out of business and there's a part on there that's got wear and tear on it that needs to be replaced from time to time. And I only have 10 of them, the bowls, basically. I only have 10 of them. So I'm like, oh, shit. So I figure I'll just use it until the 10 are gone, and then I'll see if I can find something to replace those parts if somebody's jerry-rigged something. And if not, then I'll just move on to another vaporizer is what I'm going to have to do. But if I start messing around with this oil, it's really not going to matter, especially if I can get it to last. Imagine that, two good puffs a night, right around bedtime, a little bit before bedtime. Ooh, look at me. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's going to require some discipline on my part because boys and girls, I like being stoned. I do. I am a stoner. I may not always look like a stoner. I may not always behave like a stoner, but at heart, I'm a stoner. 100%. 100%. So I have to kind of, figure out what works out within, financial restraints and all that jazz. But I think I'm gonna try and get Mary Jane back in my life on some sort of regular basis. So, but I was heartbroken when I found out that they went out of business, because I was like, I'm not gonna say it was king of the vape hill, but I was up there, and now I'm not. Yesterday was my birthday. I mentioned I bought the battery for my birthday. Yesterday was my birthday. Today's, by the time you get this, I'll be 52 and 3 or 4 or 5 days old. But I turned 52 on April 8th, which was Friday. And relatively low-key affair. I don't know. I didn't even really have any plans at all moving right, because I kept, what do you want for dinner? What do you want for dinner? Yeah, because we usually like birthday dinner. Wait, what do you want? And I was like, I was bummed. I'll admit it. I was bummed. I was pretty bummed. And I happened to be out with my aunt on Tuesday. And we were on our way home from Uncle George's, and she says to me, you want to go out to Marchetti's. So I was like, all right. Yeah. Marchetti's is a Rhode Island institution. It's an Italian restaurant. So we went to Marchetti's on Friday, and I had a veal parm. It's real, real interesting. Things are always a little different in Rhode Island. When you order something like a veal parm in an Italian restaurant, you expect it to be like spot on. Because it's not. It's like one of those dishes that's like, give me spaghetti and meatballs. It's just one of those. Now I had had the last time I was there, I had had the rigatoni bolognese. Which was dynamite. So I recommended it to the producer, and that's what she got, right? So I got the, I was going to get the chicken Siciliano, and I was like, I wanted the sauce. I felt like having sauce. So I ordered the I ordered the chicken parm, you know? So it arrives on the table. There's actually a picture of it on my Facebook. It was a nice looking dish. It was two big-ass chicken cutlets, and they were pounded down, and they were fried great, and there was sauce and cheese on top of them, right? So I go to cut it, and I put it in my mouth the first thing. And what they did was, and I don't know whether they do this, because it said gravy on the menu, first of all. Need I say more? It said gravy. It said gravy, and I'm like, okay, I want red sauce. And the waitress was great, you know? So I just said chicken parm with red sauce. So I presumed, this is what I presumed, that there would be a marinara sauce, you know, classic, celery, onions, a little bit of garlic, you know, carrots maybe melted down or cooked down. You know, I know how to make a sauce, you know. That's what I assumed it would be, right? But I look closely at it, and there's like little flecks in it. I'm like, what the hell's going on with that? So I cut it, put it in my mouth. It's meat sauce. It's meat sauce, boys. It was meat sauce. What the hell? It tasted good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not. It was delicious. It just wasn't correct. It was not correct. You were not correct, sir. No, it was incorrect. So I ate it. I ate half of it, and then I ate the other half tonight. So it was delicious, but I was really kind of disappointed. Now, we didn't have dessert. Oh, what did my aunt have? I forget what she had. She has some sort of chicken dish. We didn't. That'll come to me later. We didn't have dessert, my aunt had an espresso, and I drank two beers for dessert. So I'm talking to the waitress, right? And I'm like, first thing I say, and this is after I ate my meal, which is, I know, a little peculiar. But anyway, it wouldn't be the first time that I've had beer for dessert, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. So that being said, I said, what do you got? You know, what do you got on tap? And they're like, we don't have anything on tap. And I'm like, I don't remember them not having it on tap, because at the end of the day, I never drank a beer there. I usually had wine. Yeah, I know. I've gotten I got a little sophisticated as I've gotten older. A little sophisticated. So I didn't get wine this time. I wanted my aunt got wine. I wanted beer. I've been on a run. I think it was that same Tuesday. I think we were coming home, and we went to the Harvest place. It's like a Harvest cafe and tap. Or something. I forget what it is. Real big sandwiches. Ginormous. I had a pastrami sandwich, and I drank two 22-ounce Sam Adams IPAs. I don't know which. I don't know what Sam's. So I always go with Sam. If I don't know what's going on, I'll go with Sam. Quite frankly. You know, if I'm a little confused or disoriented, I'm just like, what kind of Sam do you have? And this time, they had some sort of IPA, and I drank two 22 ounces. So it's 44. So I drank over a 40. I drank over a 40. That I did with my meal. I didn't start until after, but I did get the second one after my meal was done. So I've been a little bit of a beer run. A little bit. I go through these phases. I go, well, you know, I drink a little this, I drink a little that, you know, and then I won't drink it all, you know. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so I said, your choice, because it's my birthday. Surprise me. So she said she was going to bring me a Blue Moon. I'm like, no. I just shot that one down. Shut it down right at the start. No, no. Keep your Blue Moon and your fucking piece of orange, okay? All right? That's not happening. So she's like, well, what do you want? And I'm like, well, what do you? And then I said it. What do you have for Sam? And she's like, oh, I got this. I got an IPA. So I figured she had an IPA, right? So she brings me a Sam, right, in a bottle open, in a glass, with a glass. And it's their, like, wheat ale. Or what, it's some sort of, like, what kind of ale was it? It was, like, some sort of a white ale. I think it was called white ale. It was Cold Snap. Yeah, Cold Snap White Ale. And it was Sam Adams. You know what? It was damn tasty. It was. I think I inhaled it. I don't think the beer was on the table longer than 4 minutes. I inhaled the beer. It was gone. And I was talking at the same time. Talking at the same time and drinking the beer. 4 minutes. Gone. So then, you know, I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. I'm in an Italian restaurant, right? You gotta have some fucking Peronis, right? What the fuck is wrong with me? So she comes back by again, and I'm like, you have Peroni? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, here's a little tip for you next time. Next time someone's in an Italian restaurant and they're asking you to choose a beer, why don't you choose the goddamn Peroni? Why don't you give them the thing that fits the setting, huh? No. Billy Joel's going to be coming in the door singing with the fucking white wine. Come on. Help me out. Christ's sake. So she brought a Peroni, and I inhaled that. And we left a little bit later. We gave her a real good tip. She was real good. She was real nice. She was actually, it was like a whole floor show. She had a whole thing going on. And her son was there. She was saying, oh, my son works here too. As if that would be some sort of deterrent for something. I'm not 100% sure what that was all about. But Yeah, she was cool. So we left like a 25% tip on like what was $100 for three people. And you're saying $100 for three people is not really bad. You know, entrees these days are like fucking $20, man. Seriously. No shit. So, you know, so $30 for each person, and we had with the salad, and we had some mushroom caps. See, I'll only eat mushroom caps if it's breadcrumbs and like other stuff in there, not fish and stuff. Cause I don't like the seafood. I am not a fan of the seafood. And it was just friggin' mushrooms and breadcrumbs. But there was so much butter. I cannot believe the amount of butter. There was so much fucking butter in those caps. There was a lot. So we ate them. We had two each. Thank God, because three and I would have had a heart attack. So that was my dessert there. But for the persistence, resistance, whatever it is, pistachio resistance. It wasn't pistachio, it was chocolate. The producer baked me a cake. She made me a 2-layer chocolate cake. And it was, let me tell you something, the buttercream, it was pretty good. The whole thing, it wasn't quite leaning Tower of Pisa. There was like some structural issues, you know, nothing that you couldn't bribe somebody to walk away from, you know what I mean? When I know a guy, don't worry about it, that kind of deal. So we had chocolate cake when we came back, and I was all carved out. And then tonight I had the rest of my chicken parm and some penne. And, you know, the penne, this is something I said, the penne, I thought the penne was overcooked. And I'm like, everybody else, because friggin' my aunt had a bowl of penne as a side. I'm like, your penne's not overcooked? She's like, no. And then, you know, I figured it out because I'm smart. I'm smart like that, not like people say. I put my penne in the bowl, right? And then they put the chicken on top of it. And then they put the sauce. And I think what happened is that the penne got steamed more by the chicken, hot chicken being on top of it. Do you know what I mean? It probably started out andante, el dante, to the tooth, that means. but other than that, it was a little soft. It was a little mushy. It was a bit on the mushy side. But yeah, it was good. It was nice. Like I said, the whole thing was low key. I guess, you know, I don't know if this just 52 isn't really a big fucking deal, or I'm just not. I'm up to 40 milligrams on my Latuda. We started 40. I saw my shrink on Thursday. I think it was. Yeah, I think it was Thursday. And so we upped that dosage. So we're hoping that kind of helps, because I'm not happy. You know what I mean? That's it. I'm unhappy. That's the best way to put it, you know. But it was really nice. I appreciate the effort that the producer put into making the cake, and I appreciate the effort that my aunt put into taking me out on my birthday. You know, they were obviously trying to lift my spirits to be lifted. But you know, it doesn't always happen that way. Now my Uncle George, man, 95. I mean, I can't. You know, I sit there and I talk to him, and he's hearing is not so good. He's got to put the hearing aids in, and his memory's not as good as it used to be. As a matter of fact, before we arrived on Tuesday, he had gone out with the car. He's still driving. You imagine that? He's still driving. My grandmother had her license taken away at like 87 because she was a menace to society. She was actually a menace to society without the car. But anyway, he's driving. He's still driving around. He gets pretty much subscription to the house, and he gets his laundry done there. And he doesn't, you know, and he gets groceries brought in, which is nice. He has someone who comes in and cleans the house a couple times a week. So he's got all that stuff in care. But every now and then he want to go to the bank, you know, he want to deposit a check. He want to do something. So we'll get in the car. His car's registered. He's passed, you know, get in the car and go. And he'll drive. And I think that's pretty. And he lives in his own home. I mean, I say that all the time. I'm like, you know what? I know many people who at his age were in some sort of variant of assisted living. So for him to be, you know, in his own home, he outlived everybody almost. He outlived everybody of that generation that I can think of. I'm happy for him. You know, I'm really happy that he still has that, you know, sense of freedom, you know, and independence that comes with all that. We were a little scared when he fell down, but he actually fell down like the stairs from the top into the backyard. That's the same backyard that I was sitting there getting locked in. He fell down, and there's like a slab of concrete at the bottom, so he hit his head. So he had some stitches and whatnot. But he's okay. You know, he's like I said, he's in pretty good shape. Yeah. He's probably sharper than a couple of people that I know. But yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm glad. Because what's going to happen is his son lives in Germany. That's my second cousin, Mark. When George passes, Mark's going to come back and sell the house, and that's the end of that. And that was the ancestral home for like four generations. My great grandmother bought that house from her mother, you know, and I lived there for a short period when I was a child. And various other members of the family lived there during various points in their lives because it was always, you know, it was, like I said, the ancestral home. And Bristol's a great town. I mean, it's, you know, it's, they got their oldest thing, that parade, their oldest continuous parade thingy, you know, and they're very proud of themselves, and they hang their hat on that, you know, very, very patriotic, place. That's what I think of. I said this very many times before. I know I'm repeating myself. My memory's starting to go. That's what I think of, that and Warren, which is where my grandmother and my grandfather lived, prior to them dying, which is right next to Bristol, right on there. They abut each other. They border each other. That's what I think of. That's, known as the, East Bay. It's known as the East Bay of Rhode Island, that in Barrington, known as the East Bay of Rhode Island. That's what I think of when I was a child, you know, and even into a middle teenager and even into a little older, a little bit, because you know, 4th of July is up here where I never felt like a tourist, you know. I never did. A lot of tourists show up during that fucking parade, let me tell you. They call in cops from all over the state. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, if you got to get into town because you can't use 136. You got to get there before crack of dawn. I mean, like the crack, like even when the first little part of the crack starts to show, you got to be on the road. Where are you going? I'm getting ice and I'm going to Bristol. That's what you got to do. I'll do this year. We'll do a barbecue. I don't know if it's going to be in and around because I don't really want to actually do it on the day of the fucking parade, I'll be honest with you. But we'll have to work out the details on that. But I'm here for another 2 years, so I'll have two more years of 4th of July parade. She's never been the one to produce it still. And, because it's a cool thing to say that you did, you know, that you saw one and whatnot. We'll do the barbecue. We'll do Memorial Day. We're going to do Memorial Day. We're planning on that Memorial Day and the 4th of July and Labor Day. We'll hit the big three, as it were. You know, and it's become, you know, since I'm actually seeing or going back into the house and hanging out with my Uncle George, which I couldn't do when my mom was alive, I want to kind of take advantage of it, you know, because I'm not going to be able to do that. And I don't want to, you know, I mean, I'm glad that I was here. I mean, if plans had gone differently, I'd be in Texas by now. And as I've explained several times, that's not going to be happening for at least 2 years. So I'm here, and I might as well make the best of it. You know, there are upsides attached to it. May not seem like it. Definitely may not seem like it, but there are upsides attached to it. And it's, you know, I think I've come to appreciate family more, I guess. And I never really did. I always looked at my, you know, as my friends, as my family, and that hasn't always worked out, as I've come to find. So yeah. You know, you do what you can, and I think if I had it to do all over again, I probably would have done it exactly the same way. I guess, you know, you have to find things out. I'm one of those guys. You can't tell me shit. You can't tell me squat. Nothing. Nope. Not a win. I'm actually got the air conditioner on in here, and I'm actually a little cold. Never heard me say that before, right? You only hear me say that in the summer. But I have the AC on AC. I don't have it on fan. I have it on AC. And it's blowing on me. And I'm like, hey, this is cool. This is all right. Because normally I'd be sweating balls by now. Seriously. I would look like an extra from like the Jaws 3D movie with the, you know, the one with the friggin' water skiing. That one. I love that one. Yeah, I like those bad Jaws movies. Yeah, I do. I do. Oh my God. And that's actually, Jaws will always remind me of this place, too, because it's Narragansett beer that Quinn drinks, Narragansett beer. So, and old Narragansett beer and Old Spice. And I actually tell you the truth, I still use Old Spice. I use a bunch of those drugstore old-timey grandpa smells. I kind of like those. I have some nicer, newer ones, too, but I like that old-style stuff. It was good enough for my grandfather, or my great-grandfather. It was good enough for me. We lose touch with things. That's what I'm talking about. We lose touch. I think you lose touch with things as time goes by. And it's hard. It's hard to bridge gaps. So it doesn't happen. And that's pretty much that. Let me get to, I got a little bit of news. I know I yammered for like a half hour already. I don't feel like I could do another half hour yammering. There's a lot of stuff going on. Still. Every friggin' week. You know, I've been watching a lot of, I mentioned this. This is up on, I reposted, and this is a la the Connecticut Bureau. And I think, you know, I started watching these guys' stuff, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I watched some of this stuff before. But it was the Connecticut Bureau that brought it back to my attention. Mr. Truth Bomb. I believe he's on, I'll say that again, Mr. Truth Bomb, one word. He's on Rumble, and he's on BitChute, and I think he was on YouTube, but he got kicked off, I think, and that's actually probably a good thing. I've been watching a lot of his stuff this week, the last 2 weeks even, just on and off, because it gets pretty deep down the rabbit hole there, especially with some of the more recent vaccine stuff. There's a lot more going on with this vaccine stuff than I think I've been aware of. There's actually a lot more going on with this 5G stuff than I think I've portrayed accurately. You know, you watch stuff and then you're sort of like, wow, when I talk to, because I say to myself, this is what I say in a little voice in my head. I say, did I do justice to that subject matter? Did I do that? You know, I'm not sure, you know, because it's like, I try, you know, and I guess sometimes maybe I minimize things to a degree. I do a lot of things for comical effect here, obviously. I'm very much a satirist, I think. Hopefully most people would understand that. And I try to say, maybe I say it afterwards, which is a problem. Maybe I should say it forwards going in before I go into a subject matter. But it's like, my intent here, I have such a small audience. It's tiny. I have such a small audience here that I really don't want to disenfranchise anyone. My intent is not to belittle anyone or to make fun of anyone in the larger sense. I try to do as much research as I can, which means I actually start looking around on the internet for things, which I don't do as often as I should. Which means oftentimes I'm not necessarily educated on the subject matter that I'm talking about. I freely admit that. I'm freely admitting it again now. So my apologies if I've ever disenfranchised somebody or anybody in the course of this program. I try to do everything as much justice as I possibly can, but I'm basically a medicated psychopath. Well, that being said, let me move on. So, yeah, Dr. Truth Bomb. No, no, Mr. Truth Bomb. Yeah, it's Mr. Truth Bomb. Real good stuff. And a variety of subjects. Like, I this week I watched the one, and I think the one I posted was Putin versus the New World Order. I think it was NWO. I think it was. That was a two-parter. That was 2.5 hours and 2.5 hours. So it was like 5 hours altogether. Excellent. Excellent. The whole buildup. The whole thing from 2014. Superb. And there's a lot of, like I said, vaccine stuff that I just started to look at there that's like really, really heavy duty. I really enjoyed it. And again, thanks to the Connecticut Bureau for re-bringing that back up to my attention. The guy does a real good job. Yeah, he does a real good job. Oh, you know, speaking in his video, he does his video, so, which is really cool. You have pictures to look at in case you get distracted easily. See what I mean? Speaking of video, I just want to, before I get, I have everything I pretty much need in order to get my video going again. I was kind of busy this week in the sense of I had other stuff on my mind, my birthday and things like of that nature. And I didn't do one or two things that I need to do on a technical side to make that happen. But as far as, you know, the equipment, I needed a smaller ball for my camera. I have that. I needed another piece of green screen. I have that because I refuse to go on unless my website is behind me. That's my thing. I'm popping this mic badly. I'm abusing. You know, and it's funny. I realize I've lowered the thing. I'm trying to stay in the yellow. I'm trying. You know what? I'm trying to stay in the green, a little bit into the yellow, a little bit into the yellow, tiny bit. It's not working out. So yeah, it'll be soon. It'll be an announcement. I'll probably be re-rolling back out some music again when I do that as well, too, or at least a little bit of music just to kind of keep things moving along, and give me a little bit of a break in the middle, because I really, you can see me yelling here, and I'm running out. My voice is running out. I use all my voice up front. I don't have anything on the back end. What am I looking at? See, there's stuff here. Let me see. What do I want? Okay. You know what? Le Pen. Yes. Obviously, there's, you may not know this, but there's elections occurring in France again. This is not a gateway pundit. Le Pen is surging in French polls one day before election. And this is dated yesterday, Saturday. So one day before election, as French government concerned with Macron's economy and immigration policy. You remember those immigration policies that let all those Syrians in? All of them. All of the Syrians who kept coming out of that clown car. Somebody want to explain to me? I'm going to take my glasses off. Hang on. I can't see. I freaking can't see. I can't see the tablet with my, I'm still drenched here. I'm drenched. Let me tell you something about these Sony headphones. They are built. They are really, Aquaman could wear these things. I almost watched that Aquaman movie the other day. Yeah, I know. I got nothing better to do with my time. Read a book, you moron. Where's my drink? Oh, here it is. I need something to drink. I've been drinking this, hang on. Stop and Shop's diet friggin' fruit punch. Real good. It hardly tastes like diet. It's really, really good. But I've been watching, I started watching my old counselor mentioned this to me. I never got out, so I was always caught up in other things. Ray Donovan. I had to get started on Showtime, but I think you can find it on Hulu now if you look. Irish guy, he and his family are originally from Massachusetts, and he moves to California, and he becomes what's known as a fixer in California. It means he fixes stuff. You know, like, what's his name? Mr. Wolf what's that movie? Tarantino from, the Tarantino movie where he fixes stuff. You know, where the guy, where Tarantino says in my favorite line in the movie, "Is there a sign in my yard that says dead nigger storage?" You know the movie I'm talking about. I love it. You know, the one with the dancing. Wow, I'm forgetting Tarantino movies. It's not my favorite Tarantino movie anyway. It's, you know, I never liked it that much, and then it kind of grew on me, believe it or not. I think I still can't think of it anyway, but I love whatchamacallit is my favorite Tarantino movie. He's a bit of a dick, but Reservoir Dogs. I love that movie. I love that movie. Ray Donovan. I recommend you check it out. It's very intense. You know, I don't say this lightly. I don't say anything lightly. Well, it's not true, I guess. I would put it up there against The Sopranos. There's 7 seasons. I'm 4 in. I'm like, which means I'm just in, like, just starting the 4th season. It's tremendous. I mean, it's really very good. It appeals to the Irishness in me. It appeals to the Irishness in me. Very soon, I'm going to explore Irish whiskey. I'm doing it. Strap yourselves down, because I'm doing it. Ray Donovan. That's probably the biggest thing I'm watching right now. Yeah, and obviously the conclusion of The Walking Dead. I think there's one last part of the final season, and we'll have to see what happens with that. But yeah, and I'm still not reading. I should. I know. I've been sleeping late. I've been doing nothing. I don't hardly do any work for the show. On Saturday, I'll wake up and I'll start looking around and I'll see what I can grab onto to throw at you people. and I'm not, you know, I'm not, it's not even that I'm not focused. It's difficult to explain. I kind of just have a lack of interest, for lack of a better term. It does, but it's not just that. I don't want to make it seem like, well, then what am I doing sitting here? And it's like, well, I feel like I have a commitment to my audience and more accurately to various people. To sit and continue to do this, John being one of them, of course. So I show up. I put my ass in the chair, and I try to be as much me as I can. I squeeze as much me as I can into the duration of the program. And I think for the most part, I do that. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that transfers to on the other end. My disinterest or sadness, I guess you would call it a morose, if you will. I am somewhat morose. Very gothic lately. Very just gothic. Like that. What's that? How you know a real gothic? You know. Yeah. I have to catch the South Park this season. I have been paying attention. I know there's a couple of feudos. Because I love when the goth kids get mad at the emo kids all the time. Funny as fuck. But yeah, I feel kind of goth. I'm just kind of, you know, I need, it's almost like this, the Cure is constantly playing in my brain. And I don't mean the upbeat stuff. No, I do not. I mean like Fascination Street. Anyway. Like we know that it's over. All right. It's not over. It's how long is left? Okay. I'm only going to do one or two stories and I'm getting out of here. I'm tired. My back has been bothering me a lot lately, the last couple of weeks. That's how you can tell I've been more active than I normally would. Let me get back to this story. Okay. Le Pen is surging in French polls one day before election as French government, they grow concerned, or the French grow concerned with Macron's economy and immigration policies. Right-wing politician Marine Le Pen is surging in the polls just one day before the French elections on Sunday, which I guess would be now. Le Pen is surging on economic relief to French workers and common sense on immigration policies. Well, that would be different. Evidently, in France, they're tired of their open borders and immigrants living off of welfare. Opinion polls on the far right's Marine Le Pen as the main challenger to President Emmanuel Macron's re-election is a repeat of the 2017 rematch. Wow, that seems like a long time ago. Le Pen has shifted her campaign focus to purchasing power, the number one priority for French voters, without shedding her far-right politics from her election program. Okay, so that's the plan. No income tax for those under age 30. Wow. VAT on energy, and that's a value-added tax. VAT on energy at 5.5% from the current 20%. VAT at zero for essential products such as pasta and diapers. I know those are essential items for me. As long as the inflation is 1 point higher than growth. Okay, that's reasonable. No employer contributions on pay raises up to 10%. Early retirement at 60 for those who have worked 40 years, increased low pensions. Scrap inheritance tax for middle and low income families. No tax on donations up to €1 million per child or grandchild every 10 years. Okay, or it's 100,000, excuse me. Immigration, so this is her policy, this is what she's running on. Only French citizens will have access to welfare benefits. French nationalists will be given preference in access to social housing and to jobs. Stop family reunification. That's that chain stuff that we have here. We may still even. Systematically deport undocumented migrants, foreigners convicted of crimes. Withdraw residency for migrants that are out of work for more than a year. Remove birthright citizenship. Bing, bing, bing. Yeah, that sounds a good one. Asylum request to be processed outside of France. I would vote for her. She sounds a little bit like a female Donald Trump, and that has been said before. I think the president was speaking in North Carolina tonight. He's the little engine that could. Blows my mind every week, every friggin' week. I'm not even here every week, and President Trump's out there giving a rally every week. He's no idiot. He got a year jump, and it's going to be, by the time he's done, it's going to be a 2-year jump as far as campaigning goes. Yeah. And I think that that CPAC speech was really the beginning. I think before then you could arguably say he was just, you know, staying in American consciousness per se. But I think that CCAP speech was I'm here, I'm now, I'm running. I think the only thing that would prevent him from running, this is now President Trump, the only thing that would prevent him from running would be his health. And I think he's responsible enough that if he didn't feel he could do the job due to health reasons, he wouldn't undertake it, which is more than I can say for the moron that's in office now. That being said, let me see. Where am I? Let me finish that. Is there anything left in that article? I kind of closed it. Yep, that was it. That was it. Okay, so that's Le Pen in France. And you got to remember, no matter how you feel about what's going on in Ukraine, there's going to be a hell of a lot of people dispersed, as though I guess there already are a lot of people dispersed. Europe, the rest of Europe is going to be, especially the liberals, are going to be very keen on taking people in. I guess at this point in time, you'd be a shithead to say no. But, you know, I don't know if everybody's going to feel the same about that shortly thereafter. One thing I will say is at least they're white, which pretty much says where I'm at, I suppose. You know, when you have men of, you know, the vast majority of what looks like the people who were taken in these various European countries, France, Germany, are men of fighting age. It makes you wonder who the fuck was actually fighting. I mean, other than Russia and the United States, who the fuck was actually doing the fighting? Who's fighting over there? I don't see anybody over there. All right, well. Well, that being said, what else do I have? I do have stuff. I just don't feel like doing a lot of it. Let's see. None of this is labeled. That's my problem. Did I put anything over here? Yeah, I did. Let's see. Don't want to do that one. Oh, yeah, this is just interesting. I found this somewhat amusing. Obviously insane. This is out of the NBC Boston, right? And this was 4 days ago. Yeah, 5 days ago. Obviously insane. Thousands in New England received QAnon postcards in the mail. A card titled "The True Story of QAnon," featuring a QR code and photos of 20 famous faces, arrived in many New England mailboxes recently. I didn't get one. Postcards promoting the QAnon web conspiracy theories arrived in the mail in thousands of New England's homes recently. The card entitled "The True Story of QAnon" features a QR code surrounded by faces of 20 famous politicians, actors, and tech giants. "They're trying to hook people in and trick them," said Brian Duffy of Acton, Massachusetts. The back of the card highlights several baseless conspiracy theories. QAnon preaches that former President Donald Trump has been waging a secret battle against devil-worshipping pedophiles in Washington, Hollywood, big business, and the media. "This is obviously insane, but this is also kind of hilarious," said Louise Borden of Boston. I don't think it's that insane nor hilarious. Personal feelings on that matter. "I read it said they're trying to normalize insanity," added Judith Frangos of Boston. I can't do the Boston accent. I have a little bit of a New England accent. But, there are no names or addresses on the cards. The only indication of where it's from is a P.O. box in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Jamaican plain mail carrier Brandon Moore says he's seen thousands of them being delivered. "Who is sending this, and what are they looking for, and why do they want me to click on it to find more?" asked a longtime New Hampshire politician, a political operative, Arnie Arnson. Swedish, no doubt. Arnson got the postcard at her mail in Concord and worries about all the people who may have clicked on the link. What they did was they got you to do something you normally wouldn't have, which is now connected you to them. That's pretty clever. "And for those who might say it's just a crazy person in their basement," Arnson said, "someone spent a lot of money to do it. Some question if it's appropriate for the U.S. Postal Service to distribute the cards. What happened to free speech?" But spokesperson Steve Daugherty, who received the card at his home, said the delivery does not violate the law. There you go. "While certainly controversial, there doesn't appear to be anything in the mailing that would make it illegal to send it through the mail," he said. "Whether you find the mail interesting, frightening, or funny, you should think twice before clicking on any QR codes from an unknown source," which is very good information, by the way. I just find it interesting, and it's just, again, another case of someone doesn't like what it is, so it must be illegal. Gotta be illegal. Gotta be. I don't like it. It's gotta be illegal, because I know. I'm the guy. I get to make all the decisions. I get to make the decisions, you know? And it's like, imagine if everything I found offensive, I ran around screaming that was illegal. Imagine that. You know how much, you know how many things I find offensive? Do you have any idea what life like me is like? You know, life with me is like, no idea. No idea. Seriously. That being said, I found that interesting. I found that super interesting. Let me see. Maybe one more. I know the two dudes are two of the. Was it two of the four on the Michigan governor's case were found not guilty. Oh, speaking of which, wait. I know I got one thing in here. Hang on. CBS. Is that it? No, this is Jada Pinkett didn't want to marry. I don't care what that is. Jada Pinkett stuff. I'm like, yeah. I think whether they give him 10 years, they said he can't come to the awards for 10 years. I don't think they accepted his resignation, though. Will Smith, I don't think they accepted his resignation. I know the Pakistan prime minister was got removed, voted a friggin' no confidence. How come we don't get to do stuff like that? Don't we get no votes? Oh, that's right. That's what the Second Amendment's for. Oh, hang on. I know that was unpopular. I know Disney. Drove by Disney here. Dozens of Disney workers arrested in To Catch a Predator-style child sex things. CBS investigation found at least 35 Florida employees arrested since 2006. They visited the police trap house after explicit chats with underage officers, well, undercover officers, excuse me. Workers included ticket seller, concierge, tour guide, trainee, security. Polk County Sheriff's Office now wants all child workers polygraph tested. Probably not a bad idea, actually. But Disney insisted the workers arrested made up less than 0.01% of its staff. I'm going to read the article now. At least 35 Disney worker employees have been arrested. We read that. Police caught many in a sting modeled on the TV show To Catch a Predator. With undercover officers, with four of the suspects agreed to meet some homes rigged with cameras. Yeah. The latest round of arrests netted another 13 suspects, including four who at some point worked at the sprawling Magic Kingdom. Disney has insisted the theme park is so large, with 70,000 employees, that those arrested represent only 0.10% of the people it has employed since 2006. But Polk County Sheriff's Office judge said pedophiles have obvious reasons for wanting to work at the resort and want compulsory lie detector tests for staff to be made legal. I guess they could pass that. I mean, Disney could do whatever it wants. And if it wanted to, in good faith, if it's really not a problem, and in good faith, it could actually do those. The toll of Disney workers arrested was revealed after a six-month investigation by CNN's Carrie Phillips and Scott. That's CNN even doing that. They tracked down many suspects still facing trial, including a 50-year-old Robert Kilsover, who was employed as a ride repair worker by Disney when he was arrested in February. Wow. Okay. That's about the end of that. So, yeah, I think probably wouldn't be a bad idea for them people to be tested. Let's see. Well, oh, my God. Am I right on it? States must... Okay, this is good, actually. Important. States must act to end border crisis as Biden administration revokes Title 14 authority. And this is out of the Center for Security Policy. The Biden administration announced that Title 42, the Public Health Emergency Authority that has allowed the Border Patrol to return 1.6 million illegal aliens since 2020, will officially end May 23rd. This decision sets the stage for a total collapse of control over the U.S. southern border unless drastic measures are taken. The county is already on track to have over 2 million illegal crossings this fiscal year. The Border Patrol agents told Fox News the termination of Title 14 authority would result in a surge on top of a surge, which will completely overwhelm Border Patrol officers. Without Title 42, nearly all captured migrants will be immediately released into the interior of the country under what the Biden administration euphemistically terms alternatives to detention. National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd told the Daily Caller, once we process them under Title 8, now everybody is going to be released, so we're releasing 100,000 right now. Well, that's the Title 42 going away. We'll be releasing the total number of people that we catch. The Biden administration move comes even as conservative House members have been scrambling to force a vote on the PAWS Act. Legislation from Representative Yvette Herrill, which would require the Biden administration to maintain Title 42, at least temporarily. Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued a statement blasting the Biden administration and declaring, ending Title 42 expulsions will signal to cartels and migrants alike that our southern border is now wide open, inciting even more violence, more trafficking, more lawlessness. President Biden clearly has no intention to secure the border by faithfully executing Congress's command to detain and deport illegal immigrants. His actions will only further endanger Texans, and the state of Texas must take even more unprecedented action to keep our community safe by using any and all constitutional powers to protect its own territory. Well said. Under Abbott, the Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS, and the Texas National Guard has deployed to the border a significant show of force, including arresting illegal aliens after trespassing when they cross the border onto private property. While DPS has made over 3,000 such arrests, ultimately this move is largely symbolic, as illegals are still eventually turned over to federal authorities, who promptly release them. The only real immediate effective state of response is for Governor Abbott, backed by the Texas legislature, to submit a declaration to Congress that Texas is under an imminent threat of invasion and that it will take all necessary steps to defend itself pursuant to Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. In accordance with that emergency, Texas DPS backed by all illegals. Nothing else is sufficient, with the Biden administration insists on releasing every illegal into the interior. Other states where border states like Arizona or interior states should declare the same and allocate state resources to assist with the operation. The Biden administration Department of Justice will undoubtedly file suits. States should continue to act to address the emergency while the matter is debated in court. Meanwhile, assuming midterm elections bring change in Congress, congressional Republicans should pursue Representative Chip Roy's efforts to see DHS's Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas impeached for his stubborn dereliction in upholding the U.S. border and immigration law. A congressional resolution in support of state invasion declarations would also buttress state claims as the matter reaches judiciary. The Biden administration's repeated, deliberate, and unlawful refusal to carry out its responsibilities on the southern border has left the United States with no choice but to act. The time is to do so is now. It'll only get worse after May 23rd.
Bravo.
Bravo, Wilson. I think I got one. Let me see. Got that. Let me see. Wait a minute. Where is it? Nope. Not there. I know I had something that was related. I can't find it. That's okay. I've run out of time. All right. I did an hour. I got an hour in. I'm tired. Yesterday was my birthday. I get to relax. I wasn't, I didn't want to not be here 2 days in a row or 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to work on, I'm getting closer to getting my, I don't even know if anybody cares. I just want to get video set up again and push some video out on a weekly basis. I got the lighting. I have all the equipment. It's just crazy for me not to do it. The audio will always be available. It'll never be a video exclusive show. It'll never be. It was conceived as an audio show. It will remain an audio show. This is just an added thing that we add. All right. That being said, let me go over and put my glasses back on. Can't see squat without my glasses. Can't see squat. All right. Let's head back over to lfmidwood.com over here. Yeah, there it is. You go to lfmidwood.com. It's the home of the Midwood Files. And over there, you'll find, over here, I should say, you'll find audio archives, all my archives, going back the whole duration of the latest incarnation. I like that. Ooh, yeah, I just made something up. See, I'm brilliant. Even in my, when I'm not even, doing stuff. I'm smart. All the archives, and you'll see all my social media. You know, I've really been concentrating on Getter and Twitter a little bit. You know, there is hope for Twitter. I know I don't have a story on this, but I'll mention this briefly. Elon Musk now, I think, holds a controlling aspect of the Twitter board. I don't know what it, I guess it shares or whatever. I don't know how that stuff works. But I think he's got a controlling interest, I think maybe the term would be. So there may be some changes over there at Twitter that maybe Twitter would be able to be revived. Say what you will about Twitter. I know a lot of people have been banned off of Twitter, and that's unfortunate. It's still the largest audience pretty much available as far as microblogging goes at this point in time. I don't know what's going on with President Trump's Truth Social. I know they're working stuff out. Hasn't been released for Android yet, which is useless to me. I can't even get on via Windows. So if you're shutting out Windows and you're shutting out Android, basically what you're saying is that Apple people are better than everyone else. I appreciate that. I really honestly do. That being said, the rest of my social media is up there. Like I said, I think I might put some Uncle George birthday pictures up there on Instagram. My Facebook is up there. Let's see what else is up there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, which I still sporadically use from time to time. I always loved it as a visual medium. You know what I mean? It's just a picture says 1,000 words, as they say. The email's up there. That's lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com gets you in touch with me. And on the end, there's the, I believe that's the telephone number. It's 401-484-1313. That's 401-484-1313. You can leave a voicemail. I believe that number is also textable. So if you choose to do that, it's another way to get in touch with the program. Underneath that is my favorites. And in there, you'll find things like 4chan and Getter and Gab a lot of other stuff that I use to collect the news and opinion that compose the program, that put the show together. The little pieces of it that stitch together. If you go all the way up top, you'll find 11LRNI over to the right-hand side, 11LRNI, and that takes you over to John Lightning's page. I don't think John's on this week. I think John was on last week. I think Dave's on this week. See, it doesn't really, because your time shift is, and like, what does it really matter? I can tell you that there's something really, really fabulous on every Sunday starting at like 7:30. Every freaking Sunday. Every Sunday, right? Not even every Saturday, but every Sunday. Yeah, because I take breaks. I do. I'm not here every Saturday. What else I got? Go all the way over to the right, the far right, which is really funny because he's definitely not coming from the far right. It's our good friend Brad Reed over there at Grits Radio. You get the chance to give a click and give a listen to Brad's stream. Brad, we appreciate you airing the program. That being said, let me see. Let me go over here. I got to click over here. I'm going to get out of here, and I'll be back next week, hopefully with a little bit more energy. I got flat. Yeah, I'm going to pull my shit together. I'm going to get my stuff together. I'm going to get it together, and I'll be back next Saturday, hopefully a little bit more energized, and hopefully being able to go a little bit more than an hour. Like I said, my back is really a big problem at the moment. That being said, let me play the close, and I'll catch you all next week. God bless. Bye. Did I play the, No, I know what I did. I got scared. I'm like, did I play the close as the opening? No, I played the right opening. I had both openings. All right, so I'm going to try this again. All right, everybody ready? 3, 2, 1.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.